zigzags downstream. 'Cause the life that lived is.
You're listening to Penguin Radio. Radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Edge with your weekly news on The Informative, news with a voice. Let's get right into it. This is DJ Edge on The Informative, News with a Voice. We're switching things up once again. Today, our first segment is going to be about DU Create, a new group on campus that's capturing the authentic student experience here at Dominican University of California. This group is going to be portraying what it's actually like to be a Dominican student. We happen to have a few members of DU Create here. We have the Chief of Communications, Monica, and the secretary, Min, and the test subject, Megan. So Monica and Min, tell us a little bit about the class that you're in.
Hello, everyone. We are in Thomas Kavanoff's class. It's called business class, Leadership Theory and Application. And basically what we do is we're basically applying the theories that we're learning in the class involving ethics and different leadership styles and what works for which situation, as well as we're applying it to our project DU Create, which we'll talk a little bit more about soon.
Do you have anything else to add to that, Min?
I think Monica pretty much covered everything.
So this is an engaged learning class, correct?
Yes, it is.
So you learn theory and then you apply it to a project?
Yes.
So what are the other groups in the class doing?
So there's one group who's working with the leadership study minor, and they're hopefully going to create an event for all the leadership minors, and they'll track their progress on who attends. This way they get to know each other as leadership minors. Another group is also working for the sailing. I forget the specific name of the company, but they're going to be doing modules for a sailing company, and they're going to teach kids and families about sailing and what goes into it, and they'll also take them for a trip on the boat that they'll be making soon.
That's pretty cool. So why don't you tell us about your specific role in the group?
So as you said, I am the Chief Communications Officer of DU Create. I am responsible for coordinating meetings as well as communicating with Tommy, our professor, and our client. And I also am a leader for the social media campaign.
Cool. What about you, Min? What's your job within DU Create?
So I'm the secretary of this group. So I'll be responsible for taking notes for each meeting. And I'll be responsible for sharing Google Docs and slides for organizing all the files just to be safe. And I also be responsible for social media campaign, which I'll be helping Monica. Yes, that's it.
And Megan, can you tell us what it means to be the test subject of DU Create?
It's really cool. I'm really enjoying it. Monica asked me if I wanted to do it, and I definitely took that opportunity. It's a cool way to get involved, and it's a cool way to show like what the Dominican experience is and like show it in the eyes of one major in particular.
Cool. So what specifically is this group going to be doing to show people what it's like to be a Dominican student?
So this DU Create is for concentrate on diversity and...
And so what else are they going to be doing? So what exactly are you going to be doing in the group to promote this movement?
So we want to look at it as a student perspective, what the Dominican University looks like instead of the faculty. So it's a different approach which will be attracting the current student and prospective students, which will be really excited about this project.
So what do you think that the Dominican experience from a student perspective, like how is that going to be different from the marketing department?
Well, people in the marketing department, obviously they're adults, so this is their job. Their job is to market the university and what it's all about, but they don't really experience Dominican in a classroom or at the dining hall or in the dormitories. So with this video, we hope to really make an impact on prospective students as well as remind current students what Dominican is all about, showing it from Megan's perspective, an actual student currently attending Dominican. And it'll give them a real look into what Dominican has to offer as well as just what it's all about, what it's like to be a student.
Cool. So I don't think we really got into the specifics of what you're going to be doing to promote DU Create. So what are you going to be doing like this semester to do like to gain awareness?
So we are going to, like Min was saying, we're going to create a approximately two-minute video about Megan showing a day in the life of what a student does, as well as focusing on her extracurricular activities, which we haven't mentioned yet. She is a world qualifier in Irish dance, and she can talk about that a little bit more. But we're going to be doing the video, and that's going to be paired with a social media campaign where we'll be using the Dominican accounts of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to post the video as well as post some more information about the university, Dominican, DU Create, and just some more stuff about Megan, maybe give updates about how she's doing in worlds and all of that stuff. So
sweet.
Yeah.
So what exactly is the long-term goals of this group?
Well, like I said before, we're trying to promote this Dominican in a student perspective instead of faculty perspective. So it'll be the current student and the prospective students can relate to this university. They belong to the Dominican settings. So it'll be more attraction to the prospective student and current students.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think also to add to that, Min, the long-term goal, which our client wants to achieve, is to eventually make this into a work-study job for a group of students where they can continue to make these videos and continue to really show Dominican from a student's perspective.
So this is basically laying the foundation for a work-study group.
Yes, definitely.
And when is this work-study group supposed to be implemented?
Hopefully next year, 2017, or next fall.
So that's pretty cool. You guys are leaving your legacy.
Yeah, we are. We're making an impact. We're DUing it big.
So if you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on the Informative News with a Voice. We're here with members of DU Create to talk about the work they're doing to show what it's really like to be a Dominican student. So where can you find DU Create?
Well, you guys can find on the social media, which will be Dominican account of Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
So is there anywhere else that we can find DU Create?
There's also Facebook.
Okay.
DU Create also will have a hashtag, The Real DU, and I'm sure if you can search that on all of the social media, then you could definitely find us and see what we're doing.
So how do you get involved with DU Create?
Well, with this work study group hopefully happening in the future, and once we're done with Megan's video, we'll hopefully maybe be releasing an application sort of to start the process of finding new stories and new people in which we can create videos and see what their life as a student is all about.
Cool. So say I have the hashtags, which are hashtag DU Create and hashtag The Real DU.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with them?
Well, you can use it on all the social media. You can use it and post a picture of you, maybe telling you a little blurb about your story, how you came to Dominican, maybe even what your Dominican experience is like so far, and then definitely use those hashtags.
Sweet. So can anyone get involved with DU Create?
Yes, anyone can be involved in the DU Create by using the hashtag DU Create and The Real DU.
Okay. So any student, any prospective student, anyone?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So Megan, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're so cool and why you're chosen for this student spotlight. And let's have a sneak peek of what we're going to get in the video.
So I am a senior here. I'm a graphic design major, finishing that up. I transferred here, which was kind of cool. It kind of gives me a perspective of like what makes Dominican so special because I came from another school. Spend most of my days in art classes. So like you'll see me in printmaking class and oil painting, graphic design classes. I spend most of my days in the art classes. I finished everything else up. And then outside of school, as Monica mentioned earlier, I'm an Irish dancer, doing that for 14 years now. And actually next week I'm traveling to Scotland for the Worlds. It's a pretty big deal. And it's hard to balance everything, but Dominican does a really good job of like helping keep you on track and stuff. So it's not too bad. It's doable.
That's pretty cool. So have you been to Worlds before?
Yes, I've been to Worlds last 3 years on teams. This year I'm traveling to do a solo dance on stage for the first time.
And how many people are you going to be competing against?
In my competition, I'm pretty sure there's about 250 people.
So that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. It's the biggest competition there.
So have you won before?
No. Well, we won a team before.
Okay.
Not solos.
So this will be your first time competing mm-hmm. solos?
Yes, it will.
And hopefully your first time winning.
Well, that's always the goal, but we're not quite sure.
Well, so it's good happens. That you're not too cocky. Yes. All right. So let's go back over to you, Monica. What does the Dominican experience mean to you?
Well, when I was a wee little senior in high school, I came and toured Dominican for the first time. And just from the start, it really made me feel welcome, just from the people in admissions, as well as just people in the library. They would always smile, you know, ask you how you're doing, what's your name, you know, what you're thinking about doing in the future. And all that stuff, I mean, I'm really a sucker for people being nice, and I think anyone would be. But Dominican is just so welcoming, and it's such a great environment and such a great school. Yes, we're small, but we do have a lot to offer. But my Dominican experience has been amazing so far. I'm a public health major with a minor in business, and there are so many opportunities that Dominican has to offer regarding the major as well as extracurricular activities. So like I'm also involved on ASDU. So there's that, as well as orientation mentoring, and a lot of different other clubs and stuff that a student can participate in. But it's really up to the student to make their time at college worthwhile. So you have to shape your Dominican experience as a student here. And I strongly believe that college is what you make of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's some good things to think about if you're a prospective student. So how about you, Min? What's your Dominican experience?
Well, not only I'm coming from the different country, but also I'm coming from the two-year college, so I'm a transfer student. So it's a big difference between the big class to a small class, so students get to know each other better, and I get to know teacher more, so there's more connection than the community college, which I really like. Also, I learn how to study better and who I really am by being involved in the community of Dominicans, such as dormitory, clubs, and society. So I really appreciate the Dominican experience here.
Well, that's awesome. So Megan, what is the Dominican experience to you with Irish dance kind of fused in there?
I definitely agree with what was said before. College is what you make of it, especially here at Dominican. There's so many opportunities to get involved. The thing I love most about Dominican is the classes. They're all really small. Like my average class has less than 10 people, and part of that's my major, but it's great because you really get a lot of one-on-one attention. And what I've found is in all the majors, Dominican does a really good job getting you into the career field, which will definitely help out after graduation. They really help you get into the field and learn what goes on there and all the different facets of it so you know where to go. And so for me, that's a huge part of my experience here. But they definitely give you a lot of opportunities to get involved between student body and clubs and there's so many opportunities to meet people too, even just in the cafeteria. Everyone's friendly here. It's amazing. I love it.
I definitely agree, and I think I'm going to share my Dominican experience. I'm a communications major with a triple minor in graphic art, leadership, and what's that other one? Business. And so my Dominican experience is Dominican is really home for me. It's the Hogwarts of my Harry Potter, and it definitely has helped me grow as a person because of everything that it's offered. And within the communications department and the other departments, especially graphic design, I've experienced some great faculty that have really helped me out and have inspired me to do better and to take things into my own hand. We also have different groups within each major that you can join to help that major. I know in communications, we have broadcast services, so we get to work with actual clients and we get paid for it. Well, we don't get paid for it, but the communications department gets paid for it. And that is some great experience for us, but it's also great for the communications department because they get money. That's always good. So if you are a Dominican student, you can join DU Create and their conversation by posting a picture on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook of what the Dominican experience is to you. You can also post a picture or a video of a hidden talent you might have and use the hashtags DU Create and hashtag The Real DU. And check out the release of DU Create's video on April 4th, showing you the real DU, featuring Megan. We'll be back in a minute with our next segment, New in the News, on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Diamonds taking shape.
And we're back on the informative News with a Voice. This is DJ Edge, and you're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Let's go on to our next segment, New in the News. So according to CNN, President Barack Obama went to Cuba on Sunday, and he is now the first president to visit Cuba since 1928. This was a demonstration of his core foreign policy principle of engaging America's enemies. By doing this, Obama hopes that he will nudge the communist government to grant more freedoms to their people and open new economy channels for American businesses. The president and his allies also hope for successful, lasting examples of the diplomacy's power of dealing with longtime foes. The final verdict on Obama's Cuba policy is still in the process, and the regime in Havana has shown a little movement towards improving human rights or opening up its state-run economy. And Obama admitted this week to Congress it isn't likely to lift a long-standing trade embargo before he leaves office in January 2017. The presidential trip to Havana is a culmination of a three-year effort to restore the ties to the island, which sits 90 miles from Key West, Florida. But it has a long history of being off limits for most American visitors, and for decades the island was seen as for this forbidden place run by bearded strongmen that residents fled on makeshift rafts. So I say good for him for being able to admit, like, that, you know, maybe this policy isn't going to pass, but he's really adamant about building these relationships back up again, which I think is really good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's better to have more allies than enemies. Like, that's just kind of a common rule of life. And we don't always have to have a bunch of enemies. And I know that being America, a lot of people dislike the way that we run things, and a lot of people just kind of dislike us. And I feel like he's doing things his way, which I respect. And this is exactly what Obama stands for. And you can see that with his fight to get a new Supreme Judge elected, and now this going down, and he's fighting to gain as many allies as possible before he leaves in 2017, he does not care what the Republicans think. And he's doing things right and how he envisions our country to be. And quite honestly, I think he's doing the right thing. And there's no need for burning bridges and ignoring tension. We're not a bunch of high schoolers. This is the real world, and there are massive issues that need to be dealt with. And if you just turn your back because we don't like someone when you're a world leader, you are really messing things up for a lot of people. And I hate to say it, but you know, a lot of Republicans disagree with what he's doing and would just kind of let the bridges burn. Some maybe even until a war starts, because some people have huge egos and they can't get over themselves and they're not mature enough to make amends and just shake hands and have it be done with. But Obama is going out with a bang, and I like it. He is just full of sass. So according to CNN Money, a digital design major has made a straightening teeth case. And so what he's doing is straightening his top teeth, and he's been doing this for the past 16 weeks using clear braces that he made himself. So he's currently wearing the 12th and final straightening tray in his self-designed treatment. His name is Dudley, and he had braces when he was in junior high, but he didn't wear his retainer as much as he should have. I don't have braces, but I've heard that many people do this. And his teeth therefore shifted. And Dudley discovered that he wasn't smiling as much because he wasn't happy with the way his teeth looked. I saw the picture of the way his teeth looked. It really was not that bad, but whatever. So name brand options for clear braces can cost up to $8,000, according to companies like Invisalign and ClearCorrect. But the 24-year-old wanted to save money, so he found a way to manufacture his own for less than $60. That's incredible. The total cost is so low because he only had to pay for the materials used to make the models of his teeth and the retainers, even though he built his own 3D printer at home. I love how that's just thrown in there. He just built one at his house, but he didn't want to use that one. So he ended up using the New Jersey Institute of Technology's 3D printer, just because it was more efficient and high-end. So he used the equipment to scan and print models of his teeth and mold non-toxic plastic around them to form a set of 12 clear braces. Dudley determined out how far he needed to move his teeth to correct the misalignment problems, then divided it by the maximum recommended distance a tooth should travel to determine the design for each alignment tray. Orthodontists used a similar process to make their clear braces. Researching the materials he needed and figuring out how teeth move was probably the most difficult part of Dudley's orthodontic adventure. The most exciting part, he said, was when he finally put the first aligner in his mouth. Isn't this incredibly cool? Like, this kid is awesome. And I'm coming to see that more and more people are starting to do this sort of thing where they develop some cheap way to do some $1,000 procedure, which makes me think, what other things can we reduce the price of so that more people can afford it? Like, what else are we being ripped off on? When I read stories like this, I always think, like, wow, this kid is a genius, or, man, I could never do something like that. And it always makes me feel like I'm kind of stupid in comparison. But now that I'm in college, I've kind of experienced a bare minimum of life, and I've realized that as long as you dedicate yourself to something and you really, really, really want to do it, you can almost do anything. Almost. And that wasn't supposed to come out as cheesy as it did, but seriously, humans are pretty amazing. And it isn't just this kid that made makeshift braces. And okay, that just turned into a pep talk. So there's your pep talk for the day. Back to the point, his idea was very cool, and he could make a lot of money doing this and help a lot of people who are also insecure about their teeth, and for a very low cost. So it can be used for the majority of the population rather than the top 1%. So if you ever need a marketer, Dudley, call me up and I'll sell you braces, because that's a very cool idea. If you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on the Informative News with a Voice. In our next story, according to the Business Insider, Trump University, the pseudo-educational program that promises to share Trump's secrets to business and real estate success, the university, which was not a university, but it's actually a series of online courses and in-person seminars, changed its name to Trump Entrepreneur Initiative in 2010 after multiple warnings from the New York State Department of Education about its misleading use of the word university. But Trump still uses the word university. It's currently the defendant in two class action lawsuits and one fraud lawsuit filed in by the New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, which founded the claims based on pressured students to attend programs and to pay tens of thousands of dollars for a, quote, gold elite curriculum that supposedly offered insider knowledge and personalized mentoring, but in fact offered pretty much none of that. Trump's opponents hope that Trump University's legal troubles and history of dishonesty can slow Trump's momentum in the Republican primaries, but that is clearly not happening. But for some people, Trump University was more than that. It was a notch on their resume. Trump University graduates list the credential on their LinkedIn profiles. An advertising professional said, "I didn't go to Trump University. It was a joke." And then he took the reference off of his profile. But people who put Trump University on their LinkedIn profiles, some of them were not joking. Many felt that they'd gotten their money's worth, and they were legitimately proud of the professional accomplishments they'd made after attending Trump University seminars. Michael LaMonica, who owns a real estate sale and art auction business in New Jersey, was named Donald Trump's Student of the Month in October 2008 and was even profiled on Trump's blog as a real estate success. Kevin Andrews decided to attend Trump University seminars after selling the business he owned with his wife to start flipping properties. He followed the program as it was taught and got the results that were promised, which is pretty amazing, considering. Joel Halley, who spent about $1,000, which is much less than many Trump students have spent, on online Trump University courses about sales and marketing, said the program taught him concepts about marketing that he uses today as the owner of a computer repair shop in Melbourne, Australia. The trouble arose in Trump University when people gave into the pressure to sign up for additional programs to the tune of about $18,000. That is pretty ridiculous. Many attested to this program being a ripoff and a waste of money, and everything the majority of people learned was in their first or second seminars. I think all Trump University was providing was the same thing a $20 marketing book and a pep talk could have done. The reason I say this is because I think that the main reason anyone was successful coming out of Trump University was because they were motivated to run their business and they needed to be told that they could do it. I think that they would be surprised how much work was done by them and not their education. That kind of goes for college as well. You have to be motivated in order to be successful. Some even said that the more classes they took, the more useless it became because the basic information was the key to success for many, which they could have gotten from the internet or out of a book if they just looked in the right place. So I really feel bad for the people who got ripped off, and I'm sorry for the people who feel like they didn't because they don't realize what they were actually given, which was competence. And I don't think they realize what they could have done to get that same education, but, you know, for the tune of about $20 instead of $1,000. But, you know, people find their roots in different ways, and as long as you come to the same goal of being successful in a business and being ethical, then I think that it's okay that some spend $1,000, some spent $20 on a book. That's all right. In our next story, Anna Crail was flying from Washington to Honolulu for spring break. She was watching a movie on Thursday night when her iPhone 6 caught on fire. It's unclear whether she was watching a movie on the phone or on the plane screen, but the flight carrying 163 passengers was still 90 minutes away from landing. The phone fell underneath a seat, and the flight attendants extinguished the fire. Anna thought that the plane was going to go down, and she saw her life flash before her eyes. Alaska Airlines has not determined the cause of the fire, and an ongoing investigation is currently happening. No one was injured, and the flight continued on to its destination. This is very weird, and I like Apple, and I really hope that this doesn't add to their list of lawsuits that they are... that's happening right now, but I'm sure that it had something to do with the altitude, or maybe she left it somewhere too warm. Technology's weird sometimes, and it just breaks, and it's scarily normal. And I'm sure this girl was scared out of her mind. I would be, and I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have sat there and burned my hands because I couldn't believe it was true. Stop, drop, and roll, maybe? Who knows? You're on an airplane. I don't know how much space you can do that. Or I'd probably do something stupid and, like, throw it into my neighbor's lap. But what would you do? That was a rhetorical question. We'll be back in a minute with our next segment, Hilarious Happenings, on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Hey, hey, hey. control my feet. I just can't control my feet. Sunshine, I don't blame it on the moonlight. I don't blame it on the good times. I blame it on the boogie. I don't blame it on the sunshine. I don't blame it on the moonlight. I don't on the good times. Blame it on the boogie.
Back on the informative News with a Voice. This is DJ Edge, and you're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Let's go on to our next segment, Hilarious Happenings. In our first story, a headband called the Sleep Shepherd Blue headband uses a sleep tracking device to help you fall asleep. The device is paired with an app to track your sleep position, cycles, and overall quality. It creates humming noises called binaural beats in both ears to usher you to sleep. The beats may have a positive measurable effect on mood, anxiety, and sleep. The Sleep Shepherd measures your brain waves through three sensors in the band, which measures the neural activity that's happening as you sleep. It's proven that you can control brainwave frequencies with this sound. And a reporter from the Business Insider tested the Sleep Shepherd headband and said that it didn't necessarily help her sleep patterns, but it did give her crazy vivid dreams. Apparently, this is because she had more REM sleep than usual, which suggests that she was having a better sleep, even though she didn't really realize it. More REM sleep basically means the better rested you are, and the more functional your brain is. But according to the reporter, her romantic getaway, being chased down a dark alley by an armed stranger, and missing the plane to a conference, and missing the bus to a party, were all incredibly lifelike. This is pretty darn cool and really funny that she freaked out a little with the lifelike dreams. I sort of want to try this band, but I already have super realistic dreams, so that may not be a good idea. I don't want to like go into a coma or anything. However, it is good for those who have a hard time falling asleep or don't get a full night's sleep. Well, maybe I guess it depends on what works for you, but the Shepherd Sleep headband is not released to the public yet because they're still developing the technology, but they've raised more than their estimated funds and are pursuing development as we speak. Keep an eye out for that one. In our next story, according to The Verge, 3 weeks ago, Donald Trump announced a boycott of Apple products until Apple gives cell phone information to the authorities regarding the radical Islamic terrorist couple from California, so the San Bernardino shootings. Trump said that he owns both a Samsung and an Apple phone, but pledged to use only the Samsung phone until Apple complied with the court. And as I refer to the court, I mean the San Bernardino case it's continuing on. But 3 weeks down the line, Mr. Trump seems to have forgotten about the boycott entirely. In the past 24 hours, Trump has tweeted from an iPhone at least 4 times, as confirmed by Twitter's own metadata. Trump has also made almost no mention about the boycott in recent appearances. Despite the extensive appearances in debates and rallies, and not to mention interviews and campaign speeches. Apple has not complied with the government's demands to intervene and has only intensified its objections and to the order that the government is proposing. The Trump campaign did not respond to request for comment. So, which means that they know that he messed up and they just don't want to admit it. What an idiot. This guy keeps saying things and he's not keeping his word. He can't keep his word on the smallest thing. And seriously, he says things and then just pretends they didn't happen or lies about them or even covers them up. Like, what a stupid thing to lie about. I'm gonna boycott Apple. Like, Apple cares about your support. Apple doesn't care about Donald Trump. They care about the integrity and keeping information safe. And that's the only reason they're opposing the government's request. It's not because they love terrorists. And it's their decision. It's their product. They should be able to choose whatever they decide is right. It's all about company ethics. And here's some advice. Keep your word. And don't say stupid stuff. And maybe more people will trust you. You're confusing and ignorant and incompetent and unfit to be president. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a liar as a president. He lies about everything. And it's so stupid. He'll lie about the stupidest thing. But if you can't keep your word on something small, how can you keep your word on something huge? Anything that he promises in the presidential campaign, I completely disregard. It's not necessarily that it's not necessarily because I don't like him. I don't like him. But my brain is now programmed to not believe anything he says because he's lied so much. And so many people have called him out on his lies and no one is listening. Well, I guess some people are listening, but no one who is voting for him is listening, which either makes me think they're complete idiots. They're either ignoring all this stuff about him lying, or they just don't care and they lie too or something. I mean, everybody lies, but they clearly just don't care that he's lying about everything. And he's lied about so many things, like meeting people, and he'll say that he's going to go on someone's show and then he never shows up, and so much stuff. So even when he's called out on stuff, he turns it around and doesn't admit to his faults. Like, even if you say, like, hey, Donald Trump, you lied about this, he'll be like, oh, no, I didn't lie about that. But, okay, this got really political, and we'll have to save that for the next segment, because this is not about politics. This is new in the news. No, it's not. It's not even new in the news. It is hilarious happenings. If you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on the Informative News with a Voice on Penguin Radio. In our next story, Makey Makey is a device that a computer thinks is a USB keyboard and mouse or whatever, and you can hook it up to a ton of things. So with Makey Makey, you can use Play-Doh, a banana, or buckets of water as keys on a keyboard. Makey Makey has even used or created custom game controllers and pianos with fruit as keyboards and musical staircases and even a Dance Dance Revolution machine with buckets of water as a dance mat. All you do to begin creating is plug in the USB adapter to your computer and use the alligator clips to conduct and send a signal to your computer. So obviously whatever you clip the alligator clips to has to conduct some sort of electricity. And that's the only way that it's going to send a signal to your computer. When you hook it up to a banana, say, and touch it with your hand, the computer thinks that you're using the keyboard, like your actual keyboard. So Makey Makey was created by graduate students at MIT who wanted to be able to create anything. So this is super cool. And it's beyond super cool. It's very, very, very super cool. Like, I was so surprised when I read this story, because I couldn't believe that it was true. And it's so simple, I'm surprised that no one has thought about this before. And I would highly consider this, consider buying it, sorry, because it's only $50 on Amazon. And I would imagine it to be very entertaining. But knowing myself, I might get bored with, like, clipping it to a bunch of things after a couple days. But for someone who's, like, super into this, it seems like a really great idea. Also, this seems like a really good idea for, like, a birthday present for, say, an engineer. So you're welcome if I just gave you an idea. How they came up with this must have been really funny. They were probably like, let's plug it into a banana. Even though it's so simple, it's so interesting. And good on them for thinking about this and turning it into profit. They have their own website. It's makeymakey.com. Well, at least I think it's makeymakey.com. And, you know, we know that you need it to graduate school in MIT. That's why they did this. It was a school project. But this cool stuff that comes out of there is pretty ridiculous. And now they just need to graduate and sell it. And if you need a marketer because your website isn't that awesome, call me up. I'm trying to get some jobs here. All right. Stay tuned for our next segment, Political Correction, on Penguin Radio. radio.dominican.edu.
Easy no, you don't need figure down. Easy no, no need figure down. Rock that, run that, this how we from. Easy no, you don't need figure down. Easy no, no need figure down. Rock that, run that, this how we from.
Back on the informative News with a Voice. This is DJ Edge, and you're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Let's go to our next segment, Political Correction. In our first story, anti-Trump Republicans, desperate to stop the millionaire from being their nominee, are discussing creative ways to halt his momentum. One idea, according to the GOP source familiar to these discussions, would be so-called split the map. So, for the remaining GOP contestants, they're trying to split the map. Ohio Governor John Kasich's campaign would focus on the eastern states, where his brand of Republicanism is most salient, and Texas Senator Ted Cruz would put his efforts in the western states, where he tends to do better. And behind this strategy is the reality that Trump is so far ahead with the GOP delegates, that the best way to keep him from getting close to the 1,237 needed for the nomination is to have one opponent in each contest. Because neither Kasich or Cruz intends to drop out, the idea would be for Kasich to put his resources and time in states like New York and Delaware and Maryland and Pennsylvania and Rhode Island, which have primaries at the end of April, and Cruz would keep his focus on states like Arizona and Utah and this coming Tuesday, and then Nebraska and Oregon and South Dakota in the months to come. A senior Cruz official told CNN that the campaign had heard about the split map strategy, but dismissed it as not viable. But the concept underscores the panic among many Republicans at the prospect of Trump's arriving at the convention in July with far more delegates than anyone else, making it harder to decide on someone else as the GOP nominee. But Kasich made it clear that he's banking on the idea that come convention time, GOP delegates will realize that he's the only one left in the race that can win in November. Kasich once again dismissed the notion that some Cruz supporters are pushing that he should drop out to stop Trump, which is what Republicans wanted a few weeks ago to clear the way for Marco Rubio. Kasich refuses to even consider Donald Trump winning the primaries. I'm glad the Republicans are trying to band together to eliminate Trump, but guys, you're a little late. It's not complete. It's completely unrealistic that he's not going to win the primaries. And I don't understand why you're coming in so late. And then it's up to both the Democratic and Republican Party to not get him elected once he does win the primaries, which I think he will. And Republicans won't be happy about that, like, either way. And I really don't think they want him in the White House. So I'm sure that, well, I'm not sure, but I hope that come time that it is Hillary versus Trump, that both Democrats and Republicans can pull together and vote for Hillary so that we don't have a complete idiot, like, in the White House. And Kasich is a little too high on his high horse, thinking that there's no way that he could win and that he himself is still in the running. There's no way Kasich is going to be the representative of the Republican Party. He just doesn't have enough support. And I hate to break it to you, man. Like, it's not going to work out. Marco Rubio has a chance, but he's so far behind. And I stand by my prediction that it's going to be Hillary versus Trump. A lot of people want neither to be president, and I hope people just come to their senses when they're voting and don't vote for the idiot, even though I'm sure a lot of people think they're both idiots. So we'll see what happens, but I'm liking what I see here with the Republicans banding together. If you're just tuning in, this is DJ Edge on The Informative, News with a Voice. In our next story, former presidential candidate Dr. Ben Carson sounded regretful on Monday that Donald Trump was the only viable GOP candidate for the presidential position, telling Newsmax that he would have preferred a different option. We talked about this on my last show, but now he's told Steve Malzberg that he wished that he had given it to someone else. Carson felt that the other candidates were doing less than up to par in order to endorse them. So he may have also revealed that what made him more agreeable to endorse the billionaire businessman was a job in his administration. First of all, I don't know why you would want a job in his administration, but that's what Ben Carson says. Take a listen.
Right on down the line, and these are all ignored.
Right. Now, I do believe, and certainly in my discussions with Donald Trump, he does love America, and he does want to be successful. And he will surround himself with very good people.
And will one of them be Dr. Ben Carson?
I will be doing things as well, yes.
In the administration?
Certainly in an advisory capacity.
That's been determined? When you sat down with him, that was discussed?
Yes.
And you want to tell us, would it be advisory towards medicine, towards education?
Well, you know, we haven't hammered out all the details, but it is very important, you know, that we work together.
And is it
save this country?
Is it a cabinet position, sir?
I'm not going to reveal any details about it right now because all of this is still very liquid.
I got you. All right, doctor, thank you so much, sir. It's been great.
So BPR reported last week that Trump announced Carson would be playing an active role in his administration before Carson even made the endorsement official. So Carson got a lot of hate for for endorsing Trump, and people were calling him a sellout, amongst other things. And, you know, I'm not entirely sure what Ben Carson was thinking here. I really don't like the guy now. Like, I'm not sure what happened, but he is turning around on his comments now, just like Donald Trump. It's a little strange. In our next story, Donald Trump destroyed Mitt Romney on his home turf on Friday, making his best appeal to the state's majority Mormon population and questioning whether Romney truly represented their faith. This rally in Salt Lake City coming 1 week after the clashes between the supporters and protesters forced Trump to cancel a Chicago event was also marked by a couple of hundred protesters outside the Infinity Event Center, some of whom at one point tried to rush into the event. Donald Trump says, "Do I love Mormons? I have many friends that live in Salt Lake City. And by the way, Mitt Romney is not one of them. Are you sure that he's a Mormon? Are we sure?" Romney became at least the third high-profile Republican to have his religion questioned by Trump. Both Cruz, who is a Southern Baptist, and former 2016 candidate Ben Carson, who is a Seventh-day Adventist, and they have had to reaffirm the particulars of their faith after being questioned by Trump. And the criticism is particularly harsh for Romney because he was reluctant to share his Mormon faith to the public life because some Christians don't think Mormonism is true Christianity. As Trump was speaking, tensions between Trump supporters and protesters escalated outside of the venue. One Trump protester grabbed the hat of a supporter and threw it. And earlier, Trump supporter shoved a protester who was speaking into a megaphone. As this was happening, dozens of police officers looked on. The incident, which took place at Trump's event, was winding down, caused security inside the venue to direct attendees to leave through the side entrance after the GOP frontrunner concluded his remarks outside. The attendees were directed outside and down a path away from demonstrators, but many from the rally walked over to the protesters and engaged in tense conversations and shouting matches. Although in the end, protesters did not affect Trump's rally in any serious way. So, I mean, that happened. I told you that this was going to happen again because of the Chicago rally and how they stopped it. So I predicted that this was going to happen more and more now because people who really dislike Trump are going to try to stop his rallies and going to try to stop his momentum from growing. In our next story, according to CNN, a U.S. Marine was killed in a rocket attack by ISIS on a base in northern Iraq on Saturday. Pentagon Press Secretary Peter Cook confirmed the death in a statement. He said the Marine was providing force protection fire support at a recently established coalition fire base. Cook added that the several other Marines were wounded, though he did not provide details on their conditions. On Sunday, the Pentagon identified the slain Marine as Staff Sergeant Lewis F. Carden. The base is where the U.S. has been conducting advise and assist activities as part of the coalition effort against ISIS. On Sunday, defense officials revealed that the attack occurred at the first American fire base, and it had only become operational a few days earlier. The existence of the fire base had not previously been public, and the Pentagon had planned to acknowledge the fire base this week. The base has a couple of hundred Marines living in tents in northern Iraq, and it's assumed ISIS observed the Marines moving into the area and saw the firing practice rounds. And the attack took place around 9:30 a.m. local time. An Iraqi general said that his men are receiving rocket fire daily, and some attacks have claimed Iraqi soldiers and Kurdish forces, and the last U.S. service member to be killed in Iraq as a result of hostile enemy action was Army Master Sergeant Joshua L. Wheeler of Roland, Oklahoma, who died in October during a rescue mission in northern Iraq. Wheeler was the first American to die in combat in Iraq since November 2011. And Sunday, actually yesterday, marks the 13th anniversary of the start of the Iraq War. Earlier this year, ISIS was all we heard about, and it terrified everybody. But over the past couple months, there's been less and less stories in the news, and I'm curious to know why, whether it's just I haven't been seeing them, or the media's cutting back, or there's some other reason. But ISIS is still prominent, and I'm sure that they're planning something, some huge attack right now, which is extremely scary to think about. And I mean, what can I really say about this story? It's horrible. It's really sad that this guy died, and the overall amount of death seems to be holding well, but we've drastically reduced the death rate. But this kind of thing happens in war, and my heart goes out to his family. Unfortunately, the only way to deal with these people is to get them first, and it's not how I would like to settle things, but they can't be taught, and they'll stop at nothing, and they're out for blood and pure destruction. And when I refer to them, I mean Islamic terrorists, not Muslims. And I mean, how can you really handle those who are just lusting after detriment? Anyways, on another note, to wrap it up for the day, a couple of reminders. You can see Code Debugging the Gender Gap right here in Marin at the Santa Fe Film Center on March 22nd, which is tomorrow, for those of you who don't know what day it is, at 7 p.m. So just to recap, tomorrow, Santa Fe Film Center, Code Debugging the Gender Gap, 7 p.m., be there or be square. For those of you who don't know what this movie is about, it's a thought-provoking movie which has a goal of helping support diversity of women and minorities in the software engineering field. Also, to Dominican students, you can join in on the DU Create conversation by posting a picture on any form of social media of what the Dominican experience is to you. You can also post a picture or a video of a hidden talent you might have using the hashtags DUCreate and TheRealDU. That's it for me. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Tune in every Monday from 2 to 3 to The Informative, News with a Voice. This is DJ Etch, signing off.